climb in and hold on.
We're driving the conversation.
It's the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota.
And we are continuing our coverage of local and state elections on this Freethinker Friday. Joining me by phone right now is Mary Shea. She is a candidate for the House of Representatives in District 29, Seat A in Pocatello. Mary Shea, thanks so much for joining me by phone.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Mary, what was it that motivated you to want to run for office?
That's an excellent question. I'm a lawyer in Pocatello. I've been a lawyer for a long time. I've always been interested in politics, interested in the laws that our legislature passes, but never personally interested in politics. But I think that as I have seen our Idaho legislature sort of changing and pulling a little farther to some extremist positions, I felt the need to get involved, get more involved. And, you know, some of my good friends here in Pocatello, including Senator Rechte and the late Senator Mark Nye, encouraged me to get involved by running in the House seat race.
So far, as you've been campaigning, is there anything that has surprised you about the process?
Of campaigning specifically, I will say that it is a lot of hard work. I campaigned in 2022 as well, and we came very close that election year. Pocatello is a very competitive district, and I came within 2%. Running against a well-known incumbent, and so for a first-time candidacy, I felt pretty good about that. But it's a lot of hard work. We, especially as Democrats in Idaho, we know we need to talk to as many people as we possibly can. So we are on the phone. We are knocking doors as many spare hours as we can so that we can get that face-to-face time and have those one-on-one conversations with Idaho voters and really understand what it is that they're concerned about, what they want to see our legislators be doing, so that we know that we are campaigning and advocating for the right positions.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of people know that it's hard work, but don't really understand exactly how much time and energy a campaign really does take. So, Mary, as you have been out meeting up with folks, what is one of the biggest issues that you are finding is a concern for people?
A couple of things are popping up right now. At the very end of the session, I was able to sit as a substitute senator for Senator Rechte the last 2 weeks of session, and one of the health and welfare budget bills had an EBT program, a continuation of a federal program that would have helped support food needs for about 40,000 Idaho children. And that line item was cut from the budget. And that was shocking. It felt like a kick to my stomach. I didn't understand it, but it was cut. And I did a TikTok for the Idaho Democrats that went viral on that issue. And I think it's because I came right off the floor and made that video and I was still a little emotional about it. But people saw it and people are mad about it. So I'm hearing about that. Hearing still a lot about using public funds for private education, the voucher issue. It failed again in the 2024 session, but we're already seeing, you know, the storm clouds are gathering. They're going to keep trying, and people are concerned about what that's going to mean for our state budget. In other states where they've tried this, Arizona is a really good example. You know, they always promise that it's going to be a limited program, and it always expands. And right now, Arizona is facing a $1 billion budget deficit unless they get it under control, and they are also a balanced budget state, so their voucher program really exploded their budget. It's something that I'm not sure Idaho can afford to do. So those are two issues that I'm hearing a lot about.
And what would be your first order of business, Mary, in office?
My priority priorities for Idaho would be supporting public education, so making sure that we stay on track with fully funding. There was some progress made on some of the deferred maintenance issues that Idaho's been facing. When we started a couple of years ago at about a $2 billion facilities maintenance deficit, and that affected us directly in Pocatello when Highland High School burned a couple of years ago, because that was a deferred maintenance issue. So we're making progress in that area, but we're not there yet. And so I will keep pushing for that to make sure that our public education system is fully funded. I'm also really, really concerned about the housing crisis in Idaho. Pocatello is really hurting in that area right now. Pocatello, people don't realize, but we were neck and neck with Boise in terms of inflated housing prices starting in about 2020. And while we've stabilized a little bit, our rents are still out of control in proportion to the salaries that people can earn in Pocatello. So we really need to be creative about how we're going to help Idahoans, because our unhoused population is starting to explode in places like Pocatello, places like Boise, I would guess in places like Idaho Falls as well. So those are two things that I'm really concerned about. I also am a child welfare law specialist, very concerned about our child welfare system and our foster care youth and kids in crisis. And so that would be a third area of focus for me.
Mary, let me ask you this. What do you think would surprise people about the foster care system?
I think one thing that would surprise people is that how strained, I think they know how strained it is, but we actually had to pass a law this year to prevent placing foster kids, young foster kids, young teenagers, adolescents, into hotel rooms and Airbnbs because we didn't have enough foster homes. And that's just heartbreaking when we know these kids are not safe at home. I'm talking about 11, 12, 13-year-old kids. We know they're not safe at home, but we don't have a safe home to put them in. And so they had to put them in Airbnbs with a bunch of other kids and minimal supervision, or sometimes in hotel rooms. And that really, I would say COVID exploded our foster care population. So that between 2020 and 2024, that was one of the ways they were trying to address it. And that's not a safe situation for kids either. So legislation was passed this year to put a stop to that. But I don't know what the answer is, because if we don't have another safe place for kids, I don't know what we're supposed to do. So,
right. That's okay. A real difficult situation to be in. You can't leave them in the home that they're in, and yet there's nowhere to go. I think that really would surprise people. I think people would have no idea that system is facing that kind of strain and having to make those kinds of difficult decisions.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, and I understand that state government can't solve every social problem that's out there, but, you know, our tax dollars have to be used for the benefit of Idahoans, and that's an area where, you know, we've got to take care of our kids. We just do.
Well, Mary, how can people learn more about your campaign?
Thanks. Well, I have a website, maryforidaho.com. You can also find me on Facebook, on Instagram, and on X. I still call it Twitter.
I know, me too.
But you can find me on all the social media platforms as well. And I try to keep a good information on all of those platforms about exactly what I stand for, what I believe in, and what I oppose.
Thank you so much, Mary Shea, candidate for House of Representatives in District 29, Seat A. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you. You too.
Well, that is going to do it for me. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I'll talk to you again on Monday. Lars is up next.